Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is RFERL Enterprise Editor Carl Schreck. Welcome, Carl. It's great to have you on the show again.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here, as always.
Okay, well, Russia's not just Putin, but we're going to talk about Putin anyway because he's scheduled to deliver his annual State of the Nation speech, or address to the Federal Assembly, as I think it's called formally, on Wednesday at high noon, as usual, Moscow time. Last year, Putin's annual address doubled as a campaign speech. He gave it a few weeks before the presidential election in which he won a new fourth term. That time, last year, Putin made a splash with his tough talk about a number of weapons that he said Russia is developing or deploying. And domestically, Putin called for a breakthrough that would improve the Russian economy and living standards. I think he called it a technological breakthrough. And he mentioned that a few times in other speeches last year. Carl, what are you going to be watching for in Putin's speech this time around?
Well, the consensus, at least among the chattering classes in Moscow, seems to be that it's going to be more butter than guns this year. I think that's probably accurate. I wouldn't expect any new weapons to be trotted out this year. You know, with given you know his flagging ratings in according to opinion polls, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to hear a couple major social initiatives, things that have you know. Well, for example, Materinsky Capital, which is a subsidy for mothers that increases with each new child they have, that's proven very, very, very popular. And you know, I would expect him to unveil perhaps a couple initiatives like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think in a way, since last year's speech and since his inauguration in May. He probably hasn't had that much to celebrate, especially domestically, as you mentioned. You mentioned the poll ratings have been falling, particularly in the autumn and since then. So I think, you know, he may be looking for something substantive to kind of promise or talk about. I mean, I've seen, I think it was Doge had a report a couple of weeks ago citing Kremlin sources as saying that he'll accentuate the positive in the speech this year. I think that's probably the case. But I wonder if it's going to be, you know, he does tend to accentuate the positive when he's talking about domestic issues. So I think there probably will be a focus on that normally with Putin saying things are good, but they need to be improved. But as you say, I think, you know, maybe he'll be looking for some things kind of substantive to mention. To talk about. As for his messages to the West and the United States, I'm not sure I'd expect him to be very positive or say anything substantially new. Kind of, I think it may be the usual, we're ready to work and cooperate, but the ball is in their court in terms of the West. I mean, a couple of reasons for this. He's not going to climb down on the INF treaty. Russia denies it's in breach of the treaty on intermediate range nuclear forces, and that's not going to change. So I don't see much room for great warmth there. I mean, there's been kind of a lot of pretty bitter back and forth over it. I mean, you know, he may mention these talks about whether there will be talks on extending the New START treaty on long range nuclear weapons. But I think it may be in the realm of, you know, we're ready for this and that, but the U.S. is, you know, the ball's in their court. In a way, I think it would be a little more interesting if this were his annual press conference or his call-in show, even though those are about twice as long or more, because there are a few things that would be interesting to see him asked about. One of them, I mean, for me, is the cases of two Americans now jailed or in pretrial detention in Russia, Paul Whelan, who's accused of spying, and now Michael Calvi, the private equity investor, who is accused of large-scale fraud in what, you know, people in the kind of, I guess, investment community are suggesting is the result of a battle over essentially over money and an internal battle with a bank and an influential person who may be friends with Nikolai Patrushev's son. But anyway, I mean, in terms of, I saw the Kremlin commented, Peskov commented on this today, saying that Calvi is kind of a respected investor who has been kind of upbeat on Russian investment prospects. But he said, he kind of gave the usual, it's in the hands of the courts, so we can't get involved. So it'd be interesting to hear him talk about that case. But he would in this kind of speech format, he would only do so if he does in a way through signals, not obviously answering questions. Another thing would be interesting to see him talk about the opinion polls and the economy and what's going on with that. So, we'll see what he says.
Yeah, I think obviously the question and answer sessions are more interesting than these addresses. I expect the Kremlin to stay pretty far away from the Calvi story. This is by all appearances seems to be a corporate struggle. And I don't think the Kremlin wants to get involved with that, as we saw from Peskov's comments today. One thing about the address, we're coming up on two interesting anniversaries. We've got the fifth anniversary of the Crimea annexation coming up. This speech might be an opportunity to kind of get the Crimea band back together and highlight that what a significant, in the Kremlin's view, geopolitical victory this was. And also a chance to tell his audience that Russia is not going to back down over international pressure about Crimea. Crimea is Russia, and so on. And then we also have the 1 year anniversary of the Skripal poisoning coming up. I don't expect Putin necessarily to poke that bear, unprompted. He may make some allusions to it about, Western partners lodging baseless accusations against Russia. But I don't expect him to address that head on necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good point about Crimea. I think both of those cases are sort of things he can talk about, Crimea and Skripal poisoning. Both of those are kind of things he can talk about to kind of show that he's standing his ground, that Russia's standing its ground, without really making any new kind of comments or any new initiative. I mean, with Crimea, and that was an interesting. Maybe Surkov had an article that was much talked about last week, and one thing about that, it was all about Putin and kind of Putin's Russia, or the state will be Putin's state for about 100 years from now. One thing he mentioned that he kind of seemed to stress was the idea that Putin has stopped the disintegration of Russia after the disintegration of the Soviet Union and in fact sort of started restoring Russia. So, that's kind of a touching off point for Putin to talk about Crimea and kind of celebrate that, I think. You mentioned the Calvi. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Calvi... the signal, I guess, that the Kremlin is going to, not do anything noticeable was the fact that he was ordered jailed for 2 months in pretrial detention, as opposed to house arrest or something else that would have suggested that somebody in the Kremlin thinks maybe his arrest was a mistake or that So I think this still leaves open the possibility of an outcome that's not, a 10-year prison term or something like that. But as I think you said, it's sort of a way for the Kremlin to again kind of claim that the courts are independent, and we'll see how this works out in court. I mean, it's a little bit. I mean, in some ways, it's kind of risky because you do have this guy who's a respected investor and. he, you know, it's a signal that, you know, I think some people have been seeing it as a signal that, you know, anyone can be arrested. And obviously it's not a good sign for, you know, for the Russian investment prospects and the economy in general.
Yeah, and, you know, this isn't exactly a firebrand opposition activist, as you've seen by the people that have come out and spoken positively about him, including Kirill Dmitriev, the head of the Russian government-backed, the giant Russian government-backed investment fund, who meets regularly with Putin. You know, even he has come out and said he would vouch for Calvin.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, another thing about that, I think, was a little bit intrigued by when Putin defended the Jehovah's Witnesses after the arrest of Dennis Christensen, the Danish Jehovah's Witness, and he's now been sentenced to 6 years in prison. You know, Putin had kind of suggested that maybe they aren't extremists, or at least they're not terrorists, and yet nothing really came of that. So, you know, I guess maybe that seemed a bit embarrassing for the Kremlin, at least on the surface, and maybe they're being careful not to give any signals that then are misinterpreted. We'll see how that case goes and whether it goes to trial. All right. Well, thanks very much, Carl. And that's it for today. I'll be back with a guest next Monday. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward.